This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
With the 22nd pick, the New England Patriots select.
Now here to preview the prospect are the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Well, Eric Scalavino, the time has just about arrived, my friend.
Thank God, Paul Perillo.
We are but one day away from the three-day draft extravaganza known as the 2010
Not a moment too soon,
NFL
either.
Draft.
Not a moment too soon. I'm ready. I'm tired of talking about, reading about, and watching film of all of these prospects. I want to make some picks.
You know, I'm a little tired of it, too. I get excited around this time. I'm a little like Fred. Fred's not like Fred. Fred's giddy. Fred is really right now, he's like that kid in Christmas.
He's pacing the halls.
That proverbial,
upstairs,
you know, little kid. You know, he's walking around. He's coming in my office. He's talking to me about how excited he is. You know, gone is all that pessimism from the show on Tuesday. Now it's all draft. He's like rubbing his hands together.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
love when he does that.
You know, like, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
A lot of big stuff, guys. A lot of big stuff.
Till that first round trade out comes.
I would say that I am excited about this draft, just not to the level of
Did he tell you who Mr. Irrelevant will be?
No. Other than Fred Kirsch? No. But with all the draft talk,
well done.
You have certainly figured out that this is our draft podcast
review,
where we
preview
the prospects for the 2010 draft. We will have one more next week, Doc, to sort of wrap it up, I think.
Yes, we will.
That's generally what we do, right?
That will actually be a review.
Our first draft podcast
review
where we actually
review
the prospects that we just selected.
Shocker.
So we will do that next Wednesday. Today, minus Andy, which is unfortunate because I was looking forward to some more of those
little debate,
those Wednesday draft debates between Eric and Andy. They went to the combine. They know these guys from a personal level based on some interviews as well as what we watched on tape. So I'm a little disappointed that Andy's not with us today. Eric is going to have to take it alone. But we have cornerbacks. We have defensive backs. We have cornerbacks and safeties that we're going to talk about. I did get a chance to watch the tape, so I can at least insert a little opinion on some of these guys. But again, I don't want to intrude on your territory here.
Oh, don't you worry. Jump in whenever you want.
These combine experts that
just jump in whenever you
have
like.
Determined that you know, a guy who flipped them off can't play.
Figuratively.
Metaphorically,
speaking.
As I said on the way down. So we want to talk. We'll start off with cornerbacks. I don't think this was a particularly deep group. There are some guys here with first-round projections. I don't think there are a lot of first-round players in this group. But the consensus, by pretty much all accounts, is Joe Hayden out of Florida is the top guy. What did you think with Joe Hayden, Eric?
A very inexperienced corner at that, too, for a guy who's projected to go
See,
that
high.
See,
that's the kind of stuff you find out at the combine.
Right.
You know, I just watched some tape. I'm just breaking it down.
This is a
he's inexperienced.
Well, this is a guy who was a quarterback in high school.
I know.
Recruited as such, got to Florida, and they said, "Well, we kind of like you at corner." And he said, "Well, if I'm going to play, I'll play corner. That's fine." So he's only had 3 years. He's a junior coming out. Just what I saw on tape, very aggressive, takes a lot of chances, but usually wins those because of his athleticism and his instincts. Very quick break on the ball. I did notice, though, he does get a lot of those easy INTs where either it's a bad throw by the quarterback or it's a, you know what I'm saying? So
his I would agree
numbers might have been inflated a little bit because of that, but I still think he's a very good player. I agree with you. He might be one of only two or three legitimate first-round talents in this group. But I don't think they're going to be uncharacteristically. They're going to be very few cornerbacks taken in this.
I think cornerback is a position to really look at because I think the Patriots can always be in the market for a cornerback, you know, and defensive back help in general because you can never have enough. I think cornerback is a logical need position. I just don't think it's high enough on the need position with the current team right now. When we talk about pass rushers, we talk about tight end, we talk about wide receiver
sure.
We talk about inside linebackers, we talk about 3-4 defensive end types.
Maybe a backup quarterback.
You know, I think there are some things that are higher on the priority chain than cornerback, but the Patriots are always in line for some of these guys, for guys at this position, I should say. I want to kind of move down a little bit, down the chain a little bit. I agree with Joe Hayden. I think he was the best one I saw. I also like Devin McCurdy from Rutgers, who is sort of you know, based on some of these projections, a first or second round kind of guy, a fringe second round pick.
Whose brother, by the way, Jason, plays for the Tennessee Titans.
Is it Jason? Is that his name?
I believe it's Jason McCourty.
Yeah. No, I know who you're talking about. I just, for some reason, I blanked on the he was a rookie who got a start in the snow in the 59-0 game last year. But I did like him, but maybe I think if you look into those three second-round picks, I think corner could come and play, but probably more along the line of that fourth-round area. So give me your your rundown, Eric, of some cornerbacks that you liked.
In that mid-range, Paul, I liked Dominique Franks of Oklahoma and Kareem Jackson of Alabama.
I liked Kareem Jackson a lot.
Yeah, and it's, you know, with the Saban connection, that's always a good thing. He had good football speed, I thought. Great anticipation, making his INTs. Unlike Hayden, who had a lot of the easy ones, I thought Kareem Jackson
showed great hands.
Great hands, and read the quarterback more so than just reacting to the bad throw. I thought he showed a lot of that instinct on tape. Dominique Franks, a bigger corner. That's one thing I think we should mention. We'd be remiss not to. A lot of bigger corners in this draft than usual. Normally you've got that 5'9", 5'10 range. A lot of 6'1".
There were a lot of 5'11s, but you know what? I agree with you, Eric. I thought they looked bigger. Mm. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I thought some of these guys, I thought, Patrick Robinson from Florida State, only listed at 5'11". I thought he looked a little bit bigger. Than some of
likes
these
him
other
a lot
guys.
Too as one of those top first round.
Yeah, he's
guys
a higher. Yeah, he's a higher pick probably than what the Patriots are looking at. But I did like the Kareem Jackson kid out of Alabama as well. And Parrish Cox is a guy I think that showed some athleticism as well. Kid out of Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. It's hard to really project. I should add. I said that the Alabama kids, Javier Arenas is the other one.
Yes.
And I liked him as well. He's a big play guy. He made a ton of big plays for that team.
Smaller, more of an Ellis Hobbs type.
Special teams kind of a guy. He has some return ability and whatnot. Very dynamic with the ball in his hands. So I always keep an eye out for those guys because I think Bill tends to gravitate toward, obviously, the guys that can do more than one thing.
Right.
Hard to predict what the Patriots might do in the secondary. I think they could stand an upgrade at both corner and safety.
I agree.
But and like I said, I'm just not sure it's worth it, both with the players available and with the other priorities the team has.
And a lot of it's going to depend on what happens in the first round, because if what we predicted earlier comes true and there aren't many, if there's, say, two, let's say Hayden and Robinson are the two corners taken in the first round, and then all of a sudden all of the rest of them are available in the second round with those three picks, then maybe you start to say, oh, there's good value for taking a cornerback where you might not have thought a guy would be there to take, so that might change things. But again, because of the new format, they'll have a whole night to sleep on it and come back the next day and have all day to think about what happened in the first round and maybe reassess what they want to do there. So whereas in the past they'd only have a few minutes in between the rounds to make that decision. But if you want to stick with those middle round guys, Paul, there's a sort of a later sleeper guy that I've been pretty high on.
I have two late guys too. Go ahead.
The kid from Division, I think it's 2 or 3, Indiana, University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I didn't get to see his tape, so I don't know about him.
And I didn't either, but just from talking to him at the Combine, got a very good feel from him. Very intelligent player. Big guy. He's one of those big guys, 6'1", 205.
So obviously speed. Eric got the metaphorical high five from Akwasi
Owusu-Ansah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. An American whose parents were of Ghanaian descent.
From IUP.
Right.
Not a big fan of IUP.
Why not? Did they beat Northwestern in something? Did they?
No, they beat BU in baseball when I played.
Oh, a little personal there. But I liked his size. I liked his speed. I liked his intelligence. He also one of the few corners who had experience playing the man press kind of coverage that you see more of in the NFL, looking for that. Granted, he didn't play a whole lot of it, but he played a lot more than some of these guys who really had virtually no experience doing that. So I like all of those intangibles. Small school, obviously, the talent is a big
question
mark.
That's
the big
question. Can he do it? And that's, Kyle Wilson is a guy that a lot of people have as a first-round pick, kid out of Boise State.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Boise State plays at a high level, they're not seeing – Kyle Wilson's not seeing Damian Jack, Golden Tate, Des Bryant. He's not seeing the high-level wide receivers on a weekly basis playing at Boise State. So that's some questions about him as well in that regard. Two guys projected late by NFL Draft Scout, Trevard Lindley from Kentucky, fifth-round guy, Joshua Moore out of Kansas State, a sixth round guy. Yeah. I liked both of those guys. And I think that those are guys to keep in mind maybe on Saturday when you see those kinds of positions getting taken. I think those are two guys to sort of keep an eye out on. Now, I want to move quickly to safety before we spend all of our time here.
Real quick, two very late further down the Devin Ross of Arizona.
Yep.
Excellent form tackler, I thought. Walter Thurman of Oregon.
The third.
Yes.
Evidently, by the way, Oregon just had an unbelievable secondary.
And maybe some of the better prospects are coming out in this year's draft.
Oh, I like to well, have to be all negative. Anything but Patriots.com, as
Fred
Kirsch likes to say.
I'm just pointing out a fact.
You had Chung and Bird from last year with two highly regarded prospects. Bird had a terrific season, Defensive Rookie of the Year. And now you have two more guys from Oregon coming out of this class. Thurman is one of the ones that you mentioned. We're going to get to another one. At safety, whose name is escaping me right now.
T.J. Ward.
Thank you.
Strong safety.
Big hitter. Big hitter, the llama.
Yep.
I was impressed with his with his physicality, as they say.
Good Caddyshack reference there.
Yeah. So, obviously, Eric Berry is the
consensus
number one player, number one player in the secondary in general, regardless of position. He's going to go in the top 10. Some say maybe even in the top five. Some have him linked to Kansas City. Even though Scott Pioli said, you know how I feel about taking safeties that high.
Right. Smokescreen.
Which I don't know, because I'm sorry, Scott, I don't know the inner
right,
workings
you never told
of your
us.
Mind.
Right. You never told us what you felt about drafting
but
safeties.
But he's terrific, but obviously out of the range for the Patriots. Anybody stand out here beyond the big-time names?
Well,
like
you know,
Taylor Mays and Eric.
Yeah, everybody's infatuated with Taylor Mays because he's a known commodity. He's a name player.
I love his size. That's about all I love about him, to be honest with you.
I'll give you two others, though. Nate Allen of South Florida.
Yep,
solid tackling ability. Looks to make the – unlike most safeties that you see nowadays, Paul, this guy looks to make the play first and the big play second. Whereas a lot of these guys, these young guys coming in, like to try to make the big play, and then, oh, by the way, yeah, I got to make the tackle if I don't get the big play. He's just the opposite, and I like that out of him. Kim Chancellor of Virginia Tech, another good tackler. Hard tackler, but makes
good,
the tackle.
Good tackler.
Makes
yeah,
the tackle.
I agree. Very athletic, and I thought he also showed a good ability to play center field, which I, you know.
Yep, I wrote that down, too.
Shoot me, but that's what I'm looking for in my free safety.
Exactly. Good center field, solid center fielder, I wrote down, and decent overall skills. I liked him a lot. I think he's got a good future.
So, again, some of the guys later on, and we're going to get to some of the strong safeties as well. Chad Jones, a kid out of LSU, good, solid player, very athletic, very big-time playmaker, too.
Yep.
Maybe a second-round guy. Again, I just don't see that as being that high a priority. You know, with one of those first four picks.
Probably not.
T.J. Ward is the guy that Eric mentioned earlier. I thought he had a real propensity to throw his weight around, and I liked that a lot. I thought he did it with his shoulder, not his head, and did it safely. In other words, didn't go for the knockout at the risk of missing the tackle. He was there, you know, with his body and not sort of just shooting himself as a missile.
Right.
With the you know potential to miss the big hit, when he hit you, you know, you went down.
Which is kind of a negative I had on Chad Jones, who's listed one notch above him from LSU, a headhunter who doesn't always go for the
a bit reckless. I wrote down
for tackle.
Him shoulders everything, which I don't
tends
like.
To hurt himself as much as he hurts the other player.
Back
when
of the
he
shoulder
makes
instead of the front of the shoulder. And that's to me, and I know that sounds funny.
The back the shoulder, the back of the
back
shoulder.
The shoulder. You know, he turns his body and hits you sort of with the side to the back of his shoulder blade. Which sometimes you get him, sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
See Merriweather, comma Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what he does.
All too
often. He goes for the big hit, and sometimes he doesn't get it. But the difference I thought with Ward was he comes at you straight on, so he's going for the big hit, and he's going to get you.
Yeah.
That's why I liked him.
I did, too. Other names on the strong safety side, I liked Darryl Stuckey of Kansas. Aggressive, solid tackling ability. That seems to
he
be
was
the
like
theme
a missile.
Here. It does the job overall very well, I thought. And Georgia, Rashad Jones, bigger guy, 6'2", 212.
Liked him a lot. I liked him a lot as maybe a hybrid kind of guy. Is this the guy Andy was talking about with the Tank Williams potential?
No, I think
I couldn't
was,
remember the name that Andy was talking about, but that this
I
guy reminded
that
me he was
else.
A hybrid type. I like the way he plays. He's a little small to play. You know, he's only like 215 pounds. Maybe a little small to play that close to the line of scrimmage in that Tank Williams, Rodney Harrison kind of role, but I really liked the way he played. I thought he was very effective around the line of scrimmage and in coverage.
Yep.
So there's some guys, I think, in the mid rounds to keep an eye on. Again, very hard to project where the Patriots might go. I think they need another corner. I think right now you look at, you have a very solid right corner in Lee Bodden, and you have a veteran who has had a hard time staying on the field and playing 16 games in Sean Springs, and you have a young second-year guy who is just finding his way in the NFL in Darius Butler, who I like, by the way, an awful lot.
Yep. At this point, sky's still the limit for him.
What do you do with, you know, your starting left corner if that's the best that you have? Going to have to see how it goes.
Yeah, it's the leap that Butler makes is going to determine who wins that job, I think. If he doesn't make the leap, you're going to have to go with Springs, assuming he's healthy,
right,
and can still run with the young kids. But I tend to think Butler's going to make that leap, given what we saw last year. He came on towards the end of last season, and I think that's the kind of progress you want to see. That's the right direction you're going in. I think Springs will still contribute, though, too.
I think Springs is definitely going to be a part, unless they surprise us and they get somebody high in the draft here. I mean, Springs is going to have to be part of that equation there. But it's going to be very exciting to see how it unfolds. Starting tomorrow, we have the first round for you tomorrow, starting at 7:30. You can catch that on ESPN and on NFL Network. But more importantly, from 9 to 11, you want to be tuned in to Patriots.com.
That's right.
PFW in Progress special 2-hour draft show on Thursday night for the first round. Patriots slated to select their player somewhere in the probably around the middle of that 9 to 11 show, I would say. Mm-hmm. We'll come back for you with the second and third rounds on Friday, beginning at 6.
6 to 8 p.m.
We'll be on from 6 to 8 for you. And then on Saturday, the remainder of the draft, we'll hit you with another 2-hour show from 2 to 4.
That's
so
right.
For your draft coverage, there's nowhere to go but Patriots.com.
No, and no one's going to be able to break them down locally, at least, the way we do.
But listen, for your not all your post-draft coverage, because you got to stick with Patriots.com for that, too.
Yeah.
But I just want to throw this out there. A good friend of mine's working on a little project, and I'm going to give him a little plug here because I'm a heck of a nice guy.
Okay, do it before the music runs out.
Listen, this a new website out there. It's going to have a little voice chat website called Blabalon. That's Blabbelon, okay? They're going to have an audio chat room next Monday for Patriots fans to discuss the draft results. And they're looking, listen, they're doing a couple of things here that I think could be interesting. And they're trying to get some followers on Twitter. So it's you know, at Blabbelon, you know, is their Twitter.
Sure.
They're direct. You can send a direct message there. And you can, if you do this, you have a chance to win an iPod, too. And listen, this is a startup, so there's not a ton of people that are going to be, you know, involved in this. So you might find yourself with three shots out of, say, 80 or 90 to win an iPod and get some post-draft rap, you know, chat going in the for the Patriots draft picks. And let's face it, everybody has an opinion on the Patriots draft picks after they're made. So you want to get to at Blabbelon on Twitter.
As Fred would say.
You can send a direct message there and saying who you think the Patriots will draft. You don't even need to be right.
So it's kind of like our MP3 emails that we get on PFW in Progress. That kind of idea,
and you
right?
You can also retweet that tweet in any of these three ways. You can follow at Blabbelon. You can send a direct message to at Blabbelon saying who you think the Patriots are going to pick. Or you could retweet that tweet, you know, the at Blabbelon tweet. I don't know anything about the terminology if you can't tell. But those are the three ways that you can sign up and be involved in this process. For more information, I want you to log on to tmcnet.com.
Tmcnet.com.
And then follow your way from there because there's a whole bunch of other stuff that I'm sure that you don't need.
Okay. And it's
one of those /USUBMIT/2010/4/20.
Okay.
And I don't really think you need all that.
And then you can tweet it on your Twitter.
You want to tweet it on your Twitter. At Blabbelon.
Blabbelon.
That's Blabbelon.
Not what Paul Perillo does, is Blabbelon.
Which is what I'm doing right now.
All right.
Anyway, that's our last draft podcast
review,
where we previewed the prospects for the 2010 draft. We are psyched up for tomorrow. Tomash, don't fall asleep. It's 9 to 11. Get your rest. Get a quick nap in.
Greg Paulus might get drafted on Saturday. I doubt it.
I want you to get
a sleeper pick.
I want you to hydrate during the day. I want you to get a nap. I want you to be on your game tomorrow. And make sure you bring in lunch to Eric, Andy, and I. I don't care about Fred.
Or dinner, whatever. Or both.
All right. So we'll give you a quick recap next Wednesday. Until then, peace out.
for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.